When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's so scary how clever he is slash was, because like it was so thought through, and that is scary. Like I remember someone once saying that whenever they saw, it was someone working in the police or something, who said that whenever you see murderers portrayed, they're always portrayed as intelligent people, and usually they're not. Like usually it's just people. It's something really terrifying about people with. Who wants to kill, who are also intelligent.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no.
This is the episode where the numbers are the same, but upside down. 96.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast. Today we're joined by Imriel.
Hi.
And Sophie.
Hello.
And always, Helen.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about 22 July. As always, guys, we have all the show notes online at flixwatcher.tv for all the episodes, so please come and visit us there. Of course, join us on Twitter at flixwatcherpod, and please come to iTunes, rate us, and subscribe.
Come find us on Twitter at flixwatcherpod. Visit the website flixwatcher.tv for full listings, and don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us an awesome review. Hello, and welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Pod. In our studio today, we've got Sophie and Imriel. If you would like to say hello to our lovely listeners and tell them about the podcast and things you do, please.
My name is Sophie Hagen. I'm a comedian and a writer and a podcaster. I'm behind the podcast Made of Human, which is a conversational podcast about life, which I've had Imriel on as a guest. That's how we met. And I've just started a new podcast called A Secret Dinosaur Cult, which is a live comedy podcast about daddy issues and trauma and dinosaurs. And
classic combo.
I love it. It's so much fun. I love it so much. I'm smiling just talking about it. And I'm doing stand-up and I'm going on tour next year in 2019 with my new book that's coming out in April and my stand-up show. So lots of stuff.
I'm so excited for you.
You're so silent, you're screaming.
I was like, yay! Nice. So I'm Imriel Morgan. I host the Wannabe podcast, which is a podcast about careers and people doing unconventional things so that young women like me when I was younger, who are confused, can know what to do when they get to university or when they leave university or, you know, just decide that 9 to 5 isn't for them anymore. So I do that. And I also run the Shout Out Network, which is an inclusive podcast network where we promote, create, produce and develop content from people from underrepresented groups and backgrounds. So doing a lot.
Yeah.
Too much.
I've been listening to both your podcasts, Wannabe for a while and Made of Human for a long time. You have like a Netflix crossover because you had Apana Nancherla.
Oh yeah,
no, BoJack Horseman specifically crossover because you had the illustration from BoJack.
I did, yeah.
Oh yeah,
and you had Apana Nancherla, who was Hollyhock. Do you watch BoJack?
Yeah.
I freaking love BoJack.
BoJack so is good. The best. I keep saying
the last season is so good.
Incredible.
Yeah. Hollyhock, Mannheim, Garrett. I can't remember the full name, but I love her so much. And she's on a stand up show on, which is on Netflix.
Oh, great! Stand-ups. Oh yeah! Oh, she's amazing.
That's really cool.
It's just so much fun.
Yeah,
I need to watch this. I'm so behind on Netflix.
There's so much good comedy stuff on Netflix. And you got you're on the BBC Live at the BBC, which I saw a few years ago.
Yeah, I've been hidden away. It's not even called like Sophie Higgins Netflix special. It's like BBC Live at the BBC episode 5. Sophie Hagen, maybe spelled with PH instead of F. It's like but it's there. My first official special, I think you'd call it.
No, it was super cool. I remember when I first watched it because at the start you talk about stealing a horse.
Yes.
Wonderful.
like a toy horse.
Yeah.
And that really resonates with me because when I was a kid, I went to Chester Zoo with on a school trip. My mum gave me enough money to buy something in the gift shop. And I remember deliberating between the two and I bought one thing. And then I got to the bus and I had both of them.
Amazing. Okay, so you're just trying to claim that you didn't steal.
No, I did steal. But I
by
didn't,
accident.
But by accident. And I shat myself. I really, at like 8 years old, every time the police went past, I thought it was for me, for this little tiger. This Aww. Little tiger.
Well, can I? My friend's wife works with children with Down syndrome, so they took them to a zoo, and there was this one kid who was always like a menace, like always just causing chaos, and he was, you know, the worst throughout this whole day. He was just making so much noise and being so annoying, and then suddenly he got quiet, and they were like, "Let's just assume that he's being a good boy. Like, let's just assume he's." Tired, but so on the bus on the way home, he was just sitting, being looking a bit suspicious. He'd stolen a baby penguin.
Oh my god!
An actual baby penguin.
How'd you do that?
He just picked it up, took it under his coat.
Oh my god! I was not expecting it at all.
I'd just been like, oh, let's see if I can get away with this.
Holy crap! What do you do with a baby penguin that's stolen?
Wow. Deliver it yeah. back is what you do.
I don't know how to follow that.
Well, let's lead into the film. Sophie, we're going to be talking about 22 July or 22nd of July.
Yeah.
Which is your choice, Sophie.
Yeah.
Can you give us a 2-minute synopsis and let us know why you chose the film?
So it's based on the true thing that happened, a real thing that happened on the 22nd of July in 2011, where a terrorist called Anders Breivik attacked young teenagers on an island called Utøya in Norway and killed, I've seen different numbers, 69 or 77
yeah.
kids. Horrible, horrible. The movie starts with that. So that's not really even a spoiler, but that's the first scene we see him kill these kids. And then we follow the trial and we follow the kids who survived and their PTSD and we follow we see the Norwegian, law.
Response.
Norway's response. So you can say it starts terrifyingly and then it just gets worse. I chose it because, so I'm from Denmark. And in my group of friends, a lot of people are quite socially and politically engaged. So people, like I knew a lot of these kids secondhand. I didn't know anyone personally, but my friends would know people who, you know, I knew people who'd gone to this camp, this political camp on Utøya. So I don't know why I thought, yeah, that'll be fun to watch. But I think I just remember it. Like, you know, we all remember disasters and, you know, terrorist attacks and where we were when it happened. But I just remember this being so close, like so close to home.
Mm.
So that's why I chose it. Not really thinking through how horrifically dark it would be to watch.
Well, it's an important film and I think it's an important thing, especially in I was actually living in Norway at the time. And I had on that day, I had loads of people like texting me like, where are you? Okay, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. What's going on? So it was like, for Norway, if this happened in the States, I'm not sure, we would have heard about it, but it wouldn't have been such an impactful thing. It wouldn't have been like, well, that's part of the course. They have guns on, you know, in prams there.
Yeah.
I remember watching stuff like Columbine.
Yeah, Bowling
for Columbine. But all those films, like 9/11 films and all, it just doesn't feel like...
Yeah, it's far removed, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. So this one was... I kind of wanted to see how I would react to something that actually, I mean, not personally affected me, that's saying too much, but at least something that felt close.
Mm.
What did you guys think of it?
It was a hard watch on the train to Brighton. Wouldn't recommend doing that in public. Maybe because I thought it was like a rom-com about like people falling in love in the summer. I actually went in with like no clue as to what this film was going to be about. And it was really hard. I kind of just remember flinching a lot.
Mm.
And then I did, like, in the back of my mind, I was like, why is this not in Norwegian? Like, I didn't understand that. But then I was like, well, maybe it wouldn't have the same effect if it was in Norwegian, because would I have watched it? Yes, I would have, because I like subtitles. But, yeah, I just remember thinking, wait, was this a thing? This feels like a thing that happened, because I I think at the time I was living out of the country. I was actually in the middle of nowhere in Costa Rica in 2011. So actually news did not reach me.
Sure.
So this was completely a missed moment in my life. So which is a kind of a weird phenomenon to watch something so horrific happen so close to home when I was not home. And yeah, I just remember feeling like consistently hurt throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I had to pause it and message Imreal and I was like, I am so sorry.
Yeah, she said before we started recording.
I am so sorry.
Yes, that DM in the middle of the night, I was like, should I be watching this now?
What were your thoughts, Helena? Do you remember the day itself? Or
I remember it. I seem to thought, when you said it was 2011, I thought it was much more recent and it still kind of was in sort of, you know, the subconscious back. So when I was watching it, I thought, you know, this was only a few years ago. But obviously it's what, 7 years ago now. So
yes, yeah, I mean, it's not that far.
No, but it's not like, you know, last year or some credit
score's
like that.
Been wiped since then.
You're sorry?
Your credit score can be wiped in that period time.
that's
just a thing.
Good knowledge.
Mine recently got wiped, that's why.
It's interesting as a film because it's the second, there's two films that came out about the same time which both took different perspectives on it. And obviously Paul Greengrass, his thing is dramatisations of real life events. So with United 93 and Captain Phillips. So this kind of is his thing. And I think I felt that this is like a three-part film. Like the first part is the reenactment, which was the most difficult thing I've had to watch. It was really, really, really just horrific and like really hard to get through. And I don't think I quite knew the extent of the damage that was done in the town or in the city as well. So learning a lot more about how much was he planned and quite like the amount of damage he wanted to inflict was pretty scary. And then you've kind of got sort of the part that is a little bit about him and kind of not offering an explanation, but giving him like screen time and obviously the conversations he has with his lawyer.
Well, and those, you mean, yeah.
And then the kind of like the last part is the survivor story. So it's quite a long film and I think he tries to do too many things in it. So it feels a little bit balanced. So yeah, I'm not quite sure how I felt about it, but it's quite intense.
Mm. I actually quite liked that they didn't glorify him too much. I think a lot of films of this nature where they focus on like murderers or serial killers or anyone that's done anything a bit murdery tend to glorify or, I don't know, make that person notorious. And I quite liked that they kept him quite far removed from the story in many ways. And I kind of was really annoyed every time he got on screen and got like to say even a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think to compare it to like the Unabomber, which is more the TV series around Ted Kaczynski.
The Manhunter, yeah.
No, not Mindhunter.
Manhunter.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Unabomber, sure.
Yep, that one. The one I love so much and watch twice. Just don't remember the name.
You're a high repeat watcher, stuff, aren't you?
When I like something, I tend to watch it again. But like with Ted Kaczynski, I was like, he's kind of cool, actually. I kind of liked his whole ethos behind, I mean, not the killing bit, but I kind of liked the mind behind.
Aesthetic mind, yeah.
Yeah, which you don't really want to go into those situations with, which I didn't get with this. I was like, this guy is absolutely bananas. Like, he needs to disappear now. And yeah, I think that helped with the really horrible first act, I guess, if we're going to call it that, of just seeing it all, that there's just no way you could even think, yeah, I kind of understand his politics. Like, you just wouldn't. Like, there's no part that you can connect with on that.
But so scary how clever he is / was. Because it was so thought through and it was so... And that is scary. Like, I remember someone once saying that whenever they saw... It was someone working in the police or something who said that whenever you see murderers portrayed, they're always portrayed as intelligent people. And usually they're not. Like, usually it's just people who are on drugs doing weird things and that's why they always get caught. But like this guy was like there's something really terrifying about people who wants to kill who are also intelligent.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no.
Because you see him at the start, he's making the bomb, which is like not an easy thing to do. But also, he sent that manifesto, which is like hundreds of pages long. Mm. Who's got the time to write that before they go and...
I swear to God, there's so many manifesto murderers. What's that about?
Well, Kaczynski had a manifesto, didn't he?
He did.
That's how he got caught.
Apparently it was quite good.
The other film that came out was Utøya 22 July. And that was based. That was just based solely on the island. And it's from the point of view of... I think, I'm not sure if it's from the point of view of the kids or the point of view of him, like a first person, but you never actually saw, you never actually see Anders Breivik in the other film. So it was just like, it's supposed to be like a real time retelling of what happened on the island, like in 77 minutes or something, which is, I've not watched that yet, but I don't really.
I don't feel inclined to do that.
Yeah, after that description.
Yep.
My heart's racing a bit now. But it was horrible. It was just horrible, that first scene. And when I first heard it unraveling and people, first there's the bomb explosion in Oslo and then there's kids being shot in Ireland, I just thought, how come they can't get away? But when you actually see it, it's like, well, they literally had nowhere to go. Literally had nowhere to go. This guy is
But not
the
that.
Worst.
The fact that he came dressed as a police officer, so they came to him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
When it comes into that classroom.
Yeah.
That classroom scene was horrific.
Yeah.
Just horrific. Because that's the person you trust. Like, that was just really messed up. Yeah.
How far away did you live from it?
I was in Bergen.
Oh, that's fairly...
On the west coast, so it was miles away.
Sure.
But so Norway has... Norway just feels so safe.
Yeah.
Like, the times I've been in Norway, it feels... Well, I've been mostly in Bergen, and it just has a sense of, this is all a bit nice. Bergen. And then there's something like that.
Yeah, the fact... I never saw one fight there. Never saw a police car with the flashing lights on at all when I was there. I was there for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Just,
it sounds really safe.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it's just like, I'm going to walk out. The only thing you had to take care of was like wear like warm clothes.
Lots of rain.
And wear like warm clothes. And I used to have like spikes on my shoes so I can get up the hill to work. But yeah, that's what, it's just insane.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Dunblane massacre? This is horrible.
No.
Let's not go into this.
Definitely don't. One thing I did want to add is that I felt the trial was a bit gratuitous. I felt like that went far too long and was highly unnecessary, just the whole trial scene. But maybe I just can't take a courtroom. It's a bit much.
Do you mean the bit where he testifies, main guy?
Not Vilja. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that correctly. But there's a lot of jumping around. But I just think where he's dealing with his lawyer, just all of the kind of the justice system section, I just felt like that was maybe a tad too long.
Trying to include too much. It kind of muddled the impact, I think, of his final statement.
I felt like there was an element where they crossed over into trying to make us understand him. And I have a really low tolerance for that. And so it just felt like, we're going to try and work through why this has happened and maybe even try to humanize him. But just wasn't working.
Do you think they tried to humanize him?
I don't know, but I think it was weirdly getting to that point because it was so long. So it's like, what are you getting at? Like, why are we focusing so much on this man who's done this really heinous thing? And why do I care what he's saying to his lawyer? And why do I care that his lawyer is struggling? Like, I don't care about him, and I don't want to see any more about him and his trial and how he really wants to get off. Like, that's not my concern. It just felt much, much too long in the middle section.
And what about Vilja's story?
I thought it was really weird at first. I was like, who is this kid? For the longest time, I was like, I don't understand why this kid is important. It was only quite far in. He's like, it's like the future mayor's son or something. Cool.
Well, I think with movies like that are based on... real life stuff, because it's based on real life stuff, it has to be what happened. So in my head I always go, can someone just like shoot him, or can it just be revealed that,
well, I'm the Breivik, you mean?
Yeah, of course.
Why, not Vilja.
because with Vilja I kept being like, come on. I was like, yeah, but we've seen a lot of suffering now. Can you not just
get it together?
Be a bit happy now. And I kept having those. Same with Breivik. I was like, well, maybe someone's... But you keep having to go, but that's not what happened, which I think is part of the effect, that you kind of have this internal struggle of, can something really nice just happen?
Like the relief.
Yeah, like when Breivik starts talking about being like a warrior, a knight or whatever, and he's like, well, from now on, there's going to be this many more attacks. You kind of want to go, yeah, but then it probably didn't happen. And you're like, oh, no. And that's the discomfort. That's why it's not a movie. Like, that's not, why it's not fiction. Because in a fictional movie, oh, we'd feel so much better afterwards.
Mm. The release. I guess the best release was that only that right wing guy came to support him, but even not much.
I thought the lawyer at the very end, when he says, "Are you going to come?" He says something like, "Are you going to come back to visit me?" And he goes like, "No," or something like that. And that he didn't shake his hand or something. That for me was that was the only moment of joy.
Get in.
he didn't shake his hand. That'll teach him.
Has anyone watched a TV show called Norsemen?
No.
It's on Netflix, and it's basically about Vikings. In Norway.
Oh, I think I tried to watch that. Never mind.
Yeah.
Didn't get very far.
But it's a comedy. It's really funny. But the lawyer plays one of the main characters in it. And it's completely, it's like a complete spoof person. It's like you wouldn't, it took me a while to realise it's the same person. It's only the second time watching 22nd July. Yes, I watched it twice.
Oh, okay. Oh,
wow. That's a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I'd watched it before you suggested it, but I thought I had to watch it again.
Oh, God.
But,
so sorry. So
sorry.
But he's in it, he's a really good character, so I recommend Norsemen. It's one of my favourite things I've seen. It's like 12 episodes, a comedy about Vikings. So it's really cool.
Well, the main guy, the Breivik guy, the guy who plays him is like a really feel-good actor in Norway.
Is he?
So he always plays like the nice guy.
He looks so evil and menacing.
Exactly. So when he was offered the part, he was like, "Me?" So he said to Paul Greengrass, he's like, "Are you sure you got the right guy though?" Because I'm like, I saw him being compared to like the Norwegian Tom Hanks.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah. This is a nice role for him.
It's a really good actor. But that makes sense as well. You would cast someone who people already really like.
I was going to ask because that's a horrible role to fill if that's all you're known for afterwards.
Yeah, like Ramsay Bolton. Yeah. Can't look at him in anything else. Just can't do it. Looks maddery.
I don't know who that is. I was going to say
Ramsay Bolton.
From Game of Thrones. Who's I don't watch that. Sadistic as hell. Mm. Oh my God. Worst human ever.
did anyone else have a problem with it all being in English? Is that kind of felt a little bit?
I would have preferred if it's because it's a real story and all the actors were Norwegian. I didn't see any reason really why it shouldn't be Norwegian, but I heard an interview with Paul Greengrass talking about just wanting to get it out there, and that's the main reason it's on Netflix, is because he wants as many people to watch it as possible. And no matter what you say, once people see those little subtitles, they just switch it off, which is a shame.
Yeah, it's a weird one because I've read that Paul Greengrass was like. He said that when he realized it probably should be in Norwegian, he then said, and then I thought, oh, well, then I can't do the film. Yeah. So they had to speak English. And part of me was like, oh, maybe you shouldn't do the film. It's like it didn't even occur to him that then maybe he shouldn't do but I mean, he did it well. I think like he did what he wanted to do with it. And I get it. Because I'm from Denmark, so I've grown up with subtitles. I watch everything with subtitles, even Danish stuff now, just watch it with subtitles. So it wouldn't have bothered me if it was in Norwegian, but I see the point.
It kind of moves away, I think that moves it away from being a real life kind of dramatization and more of a film, taking away like native accents. So I don't know whether that was part of it. That for me made it feel like a film, it not being in Norwegian, I think.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Gave me that kind of, I was kind of expecting kind of the film tropes, which obviously weren't there, like you mentioned before, because obviously it's a really horrific story and there aren't really any happy endings from it. But because it's not a documentary, it's that kind of weird space it occupies. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do that much digging as to how accurate it is in terms of other people on film, actual real life characters, or were they kind of based on people? And
I think everyone's real. Villar is studying to be a lawyer. Breivik is real. I didn't actually check if Villar was from.
I think it was based on his testimony.
Right.
I think I read that somewhere. Like he did that testimony in real life, and then they based the whole thing on his story. I think.
Okay.
Oh.
But that was another person's point. Was that Breivik was so hateful of women, and the story is the movie is very much based around men, and you didn't really get to see, because apparently there were a ton of strong Norwegian women, girls I guess that age, who stood up and testified as well and had really powerful testimonies, and that would maybe have been quite nice to see instead of
maybe
that guy.
Maybe a different
film. We only had like one
very brief one with the girl who was like a former refugee or something.
Yeah.
But there was apparently like an 11-year-old girl who went up and testified and was really hardcore as well. That would have been nice to see that aspect
that would have
of it.
Been nice. Yeah. That would have made the trial somewhat more bearable.
Should we go to the scores?
Sure,
why not?
So welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. They are all out of five. You can have decimal places.
Yep.
You can't go lower than a zero. And we will start with you, Sophie, with the recommendability.
So that is how easy this recommends to people, right?
Yeah.
And it's on a scale from one to...
One to five.
One to five. So the reason I kind of struggle with this is because I do think the movie sets out to do... I think it does what it sets out to do, but I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I could enjoy it for its art or whatever, but I... So if people were looking for this particular movie, it would be very easy to recommend, but if people were looking for a good time...
this is not a good time, guys.
Not a Friday night party.
I think like three.
Three, sure.
Three, I think, just to kind of...
Ariel.
Yes, I was also going to give it a three, simply because I think it is important that we know what happened. Yeah. But no, not for a good time.
I am also going to give it a three. It's an important story, but I feel the three-part structure doesn't quite work, and it gets a little bit muddy in the middle, and it loses a little bit of its impact because of that.
Yeah. I'm going to... bit higher than you guys, 3.25, I reckon.
Specific.
I was annoyed at the time, but this is the first time I'd seen how it played out, and the impact of it was like a lot stronger. So I would recommend it to people. And if you're a fan of Paul Greengrass, or you're a fan of like real reenactment, I don't want to say reenactment, dramatization or something, this is probably one of the toughest ones to watch. Captain Phillips was like a different kind of film. No one really died out as a result of it. The Bourne Identity is not a real film. It's Paul Greengrass.
United 93.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that. Is that?
It's like the opening, but for the whole film.
Yeah.
Sounds horrendous.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to give a hard pass to that.
But I really appreciate it. And I have recommended it to people because I know there's people who like that kind of hard-hitting film. So a bit higher than you guys, but like you say Helen, I don't think it quite sticks to landing, and it is a bit overly long, and it would have been nice if it was
a neat little bow.
Yeah.
Repeat viewing score, Sophie.
So this is one no, and five is like, yeah, I want to watch it all the time.
So it's like the film we've watched the most ever, you can happily put it on, that's like your five, and this will be like, yeah, no is one or zero, you can put zero.
I think one. I know that feels a bit cliche, but I think when you've watched it once, you don't need to see it again.
No.
I'm going to go with zero. I know you haven't even asked me yet, but I'm not going to watch that again. No.
Helen?
I'm going to give it one point, but I mean, I'm unlikely to, but I may give the other one a watch.
Utoya.
Yeah, just as kind of... A comparison, yeah, or a, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, this is, I've seen it twice now because I watched it.
did you get anything more the second time around, or was it a different experience?
I didn't understand, at the start I found it confusing, the relationship between Vili and his brother. I didn't realise they were brothers at first. I just thought they were all kids on the camp, so trying to build up into that, and with the parents at the start, I took more from that. With Breivik, not much more from that.
Still evil.
Yeah, that didn't change. But I think the relationship with the lawyer, and also there's bits with the lawyer which I picked more about, with like the lawyer being threatened and his kids being taken out of the school because the public, like, knowing that he was representing Breivik, and that hit me a bit more the next time. Second time round.
It was just the impact that everything had on a very, very small community. I mean, things like that, it just like rippled out and is probably still really felt with everyone now.
Small screen score. Sorry, this is Sophie. Small screen score. So if it has a low small screen score, it's like something you'd wish that you'd seen in the cinema. If it's like Jurassic Park, like you want to see Jurassic Park in the cinema.
Yeah, it's always a cinema.
That's like a low small screen score. But if you think it works well at home or on your laptop, then that's fine.
Oh, it depends what you want, because part of me would... I think if I'd seen it on a big screen, it's harder to look away from, and it would have hurt more, I think.
Sure.
Where when it's on my computer screen, I can kind of...
Oh, you pause it.
You know, yeah, I pause it and kind of get away from it. But I don't know what's best, because I kind of would want... I would probably want to show it to people on a big screen to go, look at this. But then I wouldn't be there myself. So I think I give that a 3. I think there's pros and cons of both situations.
And sometimes we talk about the shared experience, typically with like musicals or comedy or horror, where it's nice to be in a cinema with other people going through the same thing as you. That can kind of come into watching it alone versus hundreds of people. I don't know. Emil?
I'm going to give it a 4. I watched it on my phone and it worked. I could look away, I could pause it.
Phone on the way to Brighton. Yeah.
Yep. In a little IKEA stand. It worked really well, actually. It's good.
Helen?
I've just got visions of you just watching this on the train. And just like going, oh my God.
I've seen like full on like people getting decapitated and nudity on people on the tube and stuff. You just think, what are you doing? Do you think people can't see you because you're a bit... Sometimes like this. I can see what you're watching. Were you embarrassed or like...
No, I mean, my screen was facing like a wall behind me.
Sure.
But I was with someone on the way to Brighton and they just kept staring at me, reacting. They're like, what are you watching? I was like, this 22nd July thing about like kids being murdered. They're like, oh God. it was a bit awks. Wouldn't recommend it on a train. But I did try to watch it the night before in my bed at like 1 a.m. and I was like, no. I saw like the first, yeah, I was like, no, I'm going to wait until tomorrow, I think, in the daylight.
Helen?
I'm also going to give it a 4. I think it's interesting because this came directly to Netflix, did it? So I think it's really, really interesting that someone of kind of like Paul Greengrass's statue has decided that he's going to release his next major release on Netflix. And I kind of like that because it means everyone can watch it there and then. And I think it's a really interesting thing. Did it go to the cinema at all? Was there some like special...
There might have been, but...
minimal screenings. But I still think maybe it should have had that as well because it's obviously filmed for the cinema. You know, he's filmed it for a big screen and it's made as a big film, so I think there should have been kind of that platform. And but I think it's really interesting, and it is on Netflix and it's an important story to watch, so for if that makes sense.
I'm gonna go for a 4 as well. I think it's good. I don't think it's that cinematic, so I don't think it needed to be. There's no benefit of projecting it on a big screen apart from maybe the impact of like shit all the time. But yeah, I think it looked good. I'm not sure if it was made for Netflix or if he then thought I need to get as many people seeing this as possible. But it was, I think 4 is good. So engagement score. Do you want an explanation of this, Sophie?
Yes, please.
So if you like put the film on and were riveted to the core, didn't even think about putting on, like checking your phone, your Twitter or IMDb or texting Imriel, then there would be like a high engagement score of 5. If it's low engagement score, where you literally can be like
doing the ironing,
doing your accounting, doing your taxes,
painting your nails.
Yeah, then that's a low small screen score.
No, I think we're at 1.7.
Oh, really? Not that engaged?
No, I feel like I could very easily look away and not really miss anything. And I don't know if that's because I knew what happened.
Yeah.
Or if it was just because I wanted to look away. It was so easy to... Like, if I wasn't doing this, I would have turned it off.
Sure.
Just because it was dark and I didn't feel like I needed it. So... But that means maybe I did miss some things, but I think it was easy to not... I wasn't caught up in it. I could easily text Imriel, sorry.
I picked 1. I paused it several times. I walked away several times. if I was not doing this podcast, I would not have finished this film. I absolutely would not have finished it. I was like, this is dark. This is very dark.
I'm so sorry.
I felt like, because maybe it's because I genuinely did not know that it was like a real thing. Like, yeah. It really did escape me.
At what point did you find out it was a real story?
I think when I Googled it and I was like, oh, I should really like find out what happened.
But also, now I've seen the film. I know it's...
Yeah, now I know. Yeah, no, I was pausing it at many intervals and running off to Twitter and responding to the tweet about reviews and just reading other people's thoughts and Wikipedia. So, yeah.
Helen?
You must have just had a completely different experience of watching it that we did. I can't imagine watching it and not knowing that it didn't really happen. You'd be like, what is this film?
Yeah, yeah.
This film's really weird. Like,
as soon as I started shooting the kids, I was like, what the hell is this? Then I Googled it and I was like, oh, this was a thing. Okay, yeah.
Engagement is coming down to the three parts. So for the first, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Like 100% engagement, like really, really, really engaged. And then it drags. It's 2 hours and 23 minutes. That's a long, long film, saying that the basically an hour and a half is court cases, which is not very riveting.
Rehabilitation.
It is a little bit, but...
Even that was a bit long.
Yeah,
that was a bit long.
And it,
sorry,
I think,
Billy.
Glad you're better.
I thought it was a shame that they only chose to focus on one person for the survivor, because there wasn't just one survivor, there was loads of survivors, and I felt that maybe all of their stories deserved to be heard, not just kind of one person. So I kind of lost a little bit of interest. So I think overall maybe 3.5.
Sure. Yeah, I was hooked all the way through. But I agree with you. I think the girl who was a refugee almost felt like an afterthought. Mm. Like for Vilja to talk to. And she lost her sister in that, and she didn't get a bigger part in the film. So even if it was her role that was expanded, that would have been a lot better, I think. And now you're saying, Sophie, about the 11-year-old girl who took to the stand. Fucking hell. Like, there's... I don't think we could have had all the stories in there and make it a cohesive film, but I think there was scope to tell more of what people saw, and get their opinions on it and get their fight back. And that would have maybe given us that, yes, back at you, Anders. But generally, during the film, certainly the first time, I was engaged all the way through. And that gives us an overall score of 2.53.
Oh.
Someone had to react. middle of the road score there.
I think overall I would have said it's kind of comes in around a 3. I mean, it is a really, really, really important story that needs to be told, but it's just not quite been handled in the way that makes it a coherent and structured film that kind of tells all of the people involved their story.
Well, it's the repeat viewing score that's taken it down massively.
So
on
my piece of paper, I did put 1 and not 0, but...
You thought it was
but it's fine. I mean, generally documentaries, for example, they score low on repeat viewing score for us. But I don't think this needs to be ratified to a 3. I think that's where it kind of stands. We're not going to watch it again.
Are you sure? You've watched it twice, yeah. So yeah. I don't think you need to watch it again. You've done more for the cause.
I've done more for the cause. So we did have a tweet. So we go out to people whenever we are about to record. We go out to people and say, hey, we're recording 22 July, in this case, with Imre Morgan and Sophie Hagen. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts for an on-air shout-out on FlixWatcher with a short review and a 5-star rating. And we had one response, which came in a couple of days ago. Sophie, do you want to read that response?
Yes, it is from @topfilmtip. Survivors of you chose someone with this second language thing,
yeah,
didn't you?
Sorry.
Survivors of how do you say that?
Monstrously
horrifying terrorist attack seek
impetus
to rebuild broken lives and speak for their murdered friends. Slow burning character study, #22July. Abrasive and emotively arresting opening, somewhat
mired.
Thank you.
Mired.
Oh, you admired. You disagreed on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say mired
by. Mired by overlong second act, 2.5 stars.
Yeah.
This is what we
absolutely agreed with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, thank you very much. Top film tip for your tweets. And this one is, it's a recent film, and we tend to get less big response for like films that have been out for ages and people have a really strong opinion about it. So to have one response is good. Cool. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Can you tell everyone who's listening where they can find you? Online?
Sure. Yeah. I'm usually online at Immy Morgan on Twitter and at Wannabe Podcast on Instagram because I like Instagram. So follow me there.
Yeah. I'm Sophie Hagen, S-O-F-I-E-H-A-G-E-N on Twitter, and Sophie Hagen DK for Denmark, not Dick, on Instagram. People think. And Sophie Hagen on Facebook as well, and SophieHagen.com for everything else.
Fantastic.
Great. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers. Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. As always, you can find us on iTunes. Do subscribe and leave us a nice review if you feel like it. You can find us on Twitter at FlixWatcherPod, and the website is flixwatcher.tv. Thanks, as always, to the mighty people for their mighty, mighty tunes, and thanks to Brendan Russell for his awesome editing skills.